Amen. Thank you. We're going to talk to you today about the hero behind the hero. And I didn't know what Ogale was going to share other than she was going to share her story. But I didn't realize just how many times God had spoken to her through this journey that she'd been on. And I actually think it's probably something that all of us in this room can relate to, where we're on this journey and the future is unknown, it's unpredictable, sometimes it's scary, sometimes there's all kinds of questions around it. And as a Jesus follower, you know you're supposed to trust Jesus, right? Like you're just supposed to trust God. But sometimes that's hard because Jesus has risen and he's ascended to be with the Father, and so we don't see him with skin on, right? And so sometimes it's hard to know how to hear his voice. And so it was really encouraging to see how many times God had spoken to Ogale. And I think it's a reminder for us that God does speak today. But maybe you hear that story and you're like, man, I'm asking, but I don't think I'm hearing quite that way. I would say that probably most of us, and this is probably something that you can relate to, maybe not, but probably most of us have an earthly hero, right? Somebody that we look up to, somebody that we think is great. And I just want to ask you a question about somebody who either is a hero in your life or was. But have you ever had this experience where you've had a hero in your life and then they let you down in some way? Like, and maybe it was somebody that was a really great Jesus follower, or somebody that you looked up to, somebody that you learned a lot from, and that person just let you down in some way. Has that ever happened to you? You can think about, like, I mean, right now, I think for the last 50 or 60 years, they've been popular, but superhero movies are really popular, okay? They do quite well when they're at the theaters, okay? So Marvel Cinematic Universe has made billions of dollars, okay? It's this huge industry. It's all about superheroes. But even Marvel, if you watch enough Marvel, you've got these heroes, but they're all really flawed. Okay, I'm not going to get too deep into Marvel. Malachi would love it if I did. Malachi. But if you get into some of these movies, there's one of the movies called Civil War. And in the movie Civil War, one of the Marvel movies, you see like kind of a dark side of all of these heroes. They can't get along with each other. They're all super flawed. They're angry at each other. And these are all the heroes that you're supposed to look up to, right? You're supposed to be able to look up to Ant-Man and Iron Man and Hulk and all these ones. You're supposed to be able to look up to them, Captain America. But in this movie, Civil War, you see like just how flawed they are, and it's kind of disappointing. And so Malachi and I have lots of conversations about Marvel. For me, this movie, Civil War, is the one that makes me feel the saddest, okay? Because I kind of like the idea of a hero, and in the movie Civil War, there's like, you just see the dark side, and they make all these mistakes. But then it's this realization of reality. When I was growing up, I was in a kind of Christian home where there was a lot of movies we weren't allowed to watch. So like Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, I was not allowed to watch. Anybody relate? Anybody grew up in a home like that? You weren't allowed to watch? Okay, I wasn't alone. So like, yeah, Power Rangers, there was stuff in it that was like, oh, that's probably demonic or whatever. So I wasn't allowed to watch that. And Ninja Turtles, we had this thing in our house where my dad, he was a pretty open-minded person, and he had this rule against Ninja Turtles. And anyway, so I was like, it's like, Dad, you should just, like, we'll just watch one episode together, right? And he was like, that's fine. So we watched an episode of Ninja Turtles and ended up being, like, the worst one. I think they were swearing in it and all this stuff. I'm like, of course, this is the one that's going to happen. Like, this is the one we're going to watch when my dad's watching it. So he's like, that's what I'm talking about. You're not allowed to watch Ninja Turtles, right? So wasn't allowed to watch a lot of this stuff growing up. And so when I was young, I remember hearing about Samson. You know who Samson is in the Bible? I remember hearing about Samson, and I was like, this guy's he's a legit hero. Like, he's like, he could probably take the Ninja Turtles, okay? Like, he could probably take the Power Rangers. If it came, push came to shove, Samson, I mean, in the Bible, there's a story about Samson. He kills 1,000 guys with the jawbone of a donkey, okay? The King James Version uses a more crass word for donkey. I won't use that today, okay? But Samson, in the Bible, he uses the jawbone of a donkey and he kills 1,000 guys in one fight, right? And I remember, like, as a kid thinking, this guy's amazing, right? Like, he's like a real deal superhero. And then I got older and started taking the Bible really seriously and started studying the life of Samson. And I'll just tell you, he really let me down, okay? Because I got to know Samson a little bit, and I was like, this guy was, he was a womanizer, and he was very disobedient to God. God had given Samson some very specific commands, and Samson deliberately disobeyed those commands. Samson had taken this Nazirite vow when he was younger. There was all kinds of rules he was supposed to follow because he was completely dedicated to God. But he just did not follow the rules that God had given him to follow. And so I was just like, I was just disappointed and thinking like, well, who's the hero? And I know that as a Jesus follower, we're in a Christian church, we know Jesus is our hero. But I think sometimes we latch on to other heroes, and when they let us down, we feel like in some way God has let us down. Like sometimes it's like we develop this appreciation, this respect for a hero. Maybe it is a Samson, or maybe it's somebody today. Maybe it's your pastor. Maybe it's somebody you pray with. Maybe it's somebody who you know that you really look up to. Maybe it's a parent. We have these people that we look up to, and when they let us down, it actually feels like God has let us down. And I just want to tell you, that's a very real struggle. It's a very real emotion. But the best heroes are the ones that point directly to Jesus. And I want to argue today that Jesus is the hero behind the hero. So whoever is like an earthly hero, whoever you like has some qualities about them that you think are worth looking up to, I just want to point out to you what the scriptures teach us is that Jesus is actually the hero that's behind every hero. He's the good one that's behind anybody who's ever done anything good. The Bible tells us very clearly there's only one who's truly good, and it's Jesus. And Paul talks about this in a verse that I've wrestled with a lot, and you're going to see why in a second. We're going to read it, but I'm just going to pray that we hear what God is saying to us from his word today. Lord, I just pray that you bless us as we look at your word, as we look at the scriptures. God, you've given us the scriptures to show us who you are, to show us what you're like, and even to invite us into a relationship with you. And sometimes it's hard to know what it means to have a relationship with you. Sometimes it's hard to feel you or sense you, or we don't know fully what that's like. I just pray today, Lord, that we'd have a real sense of your peace and your presence. For anybody in this room right now that doesn't know you, I pray they'd hear your voice today calling them. And Lord, for those of us in this room that do know you, have surrendered our lives to you, may you remind us that you're the hero behind the hero. If we've been hurt, if we've been let down, that we would realize, Lord, that you have never let us down, that you're faithful. And I pray that we'd hear your voice speaking to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm just going to read a few verses here, like three or four, and it's kind of right in the middle of this section. I'll give you a little bit of context. But Paul, in this passage of Scripture, he's talking to a group of people that are really messed up, okay? And we've talked about this before, but he's in a place called Corinth. And the Corinthians, last week, if you were here, we took communion together. And so the way we practice communion here is that we have a couple tables at the front with juice and bread. And we all come up and we take the juice and the bread. And the bread represents the broken body of Jesus. The juice represents the shed blood of Jesus. And when we take that, we're saying, I trust you, what you've done, Jesus, for me. Well, do you know that the people in Corinth, the people that we're going to read about here, okay, the ones that Paul's talking to, like this church was kind of messed up. They were so messed up that when they got together to do communion, they were getting drunk, okay? Like they were like a pretty messed up group of people. They would celebrate communion, which is the most important thing we do as followers of Jesus. Communion is more important, more precious than any sermon you'll ever hear. Practicing communion is so significant. And this group of Christians were getting together, taking communion, and they would be like drunk, and they'd be fighting with each other. They had all kinds of sexual immorality going on in their lives. Like, it was a mess, okay? And this is who Paul is talking about. So he's talking to this church in Corinth, and he's trying to point them to Jesus. And this is what he says. It'll be up on the screen, I think, starting in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Okay, so he's trying to correct this messed up group of people. He's like, do this for the glory of God. You shouldn't be out trying to get drunk and misuse what's going on. He's like, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And now listen to this. This is the focus of what I want to emphasize today. Paul says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So Paul says to the followers of Jesus in Corinth, he says, imitate me just like I imitate Jesus. And so Paul is kind of this like local hero. He had come to Corinth and planted a church, and God was doing incredible things there. People were coming to know Jesus. People were being set free. Their lives were being changed, transformed, right? And people were looking to Paul as this hero. And what he said to them is, I believe, something we need to hear today. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So it's kind of a scary thing. For those of you that are parents, you realize pretty quick that your kids imitate you, which maybe at first you think that's a good idea until they start picking up all your bad habits and your bad attitudes. And your I saw a meme on it was like Instagram recently, and it was this mom, fitting for Mother's Day, she was having this argument with her child, and then she realized that her child was just a younger version of herself. And so it was like, how do I get mad at that, right? And so it's not always good when people imitate us, right? And so Paul here, he's saying, imitate me, and he's kind of a local hero, but he's saying, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. And so Jesus is the hero behind the hero. In Romans chapter 3, this will be on the screen, verse 23 to 25. I just want you to know, I want to really bring this home. And if you're a regular churchgoer, if you read the scriptures, you know this to be true. But it's something we need to be reminded of. And maybe you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, you don't know where you stand. This kind of explains the gospel, and it explains that Jesus is our hero. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Romans 3:23-25, the first half of verse 25. So, do you believe that? Do you believe that everybody's sinned? Do you believe everybody is messed up? Like, the scriptures make it really clear. All of us have sinned. We've all done things that mean that we deserve to be separated from God. Right? Like, we've all messed up in some way. And so Jesus, the real hero, he comes not with this attitude of judgment. He does come and point out our sin, by the way. The only way to receive Jesus is to recognize that you've sinned, to recognize your need for a Savior. But Jesus comes in love and grace, and he gives his life on our behalf. And the scriptures say that the way to be made right with God is simple. You just believe in what Jesus has done. You receive what Christ has done. You don't earn it. You don't, you know, fix yourself up in your own strength. You just go, God, I receive what you've done. Jesus is this, he is the true hero. You know, if you've wrestled with this idea, this concept of sin, I told Malachi he was going to get a shout out. And I don't owe Malachi $5, by the way, for those of you who know we do this in our family, because I warned him. But we're having a conversation earlier this week. There's this trend going around on TikTok, and people are asking the question to women, if you were alone in the woods, would you rather be alone in the woods with a bear or with a man? Have you guys heard about that? Have you heard about this trend? Okay, so it's this question that's being asked. If you're a woman alone in the woods, would you rather be alone with a bear or a man? And a lot of people are saying, I'd rather be alone with a bear than some man, some random man. And so we've been having this huge conversation in our family, and it was kind of annoying. Malachi's like, well, no, not all men are as bad as what this is making it sound like, right? Which he's right. Not all men are, you know, people that'll do horrible and terrible things. But there are a lot that are. And then we had this like philosophical conversation, which I think sometimes does, and I've told you this before, it kind of annoys my kids because I try to tell, I'm like, let's think about this, right? I'm like, oh, Dad, we just want to like watch a movie or go golfing, right? But like, let's go a little deep, right? So we were like getting into what happens when good men or good people lose all of the things that kind of make them good, maybe lose the comforts that we have here. You know, like if you put a whole group of people into one small area and you lose all of the comforts that we have, like there's no access to food or clean water, Maybe there was no upbringing. You've only been exposed to horrible things. You've been treated terribly. Like, humanity over and over has proven again and again that we descend into just absolute chaos. And it's this reality. If you thought about it long enough, if you maybe you consider yourself a good person, right? Maybe you're like, yeah, I wouldn't ever do anything to hurt anybody. And maybe you're not. Maybe you're not a violent person. You haven't done any, you know, things that you would consider terrible. But then you think about the influences that you've had in your life. Most of us that live in this part of the world have had access to good things. And you start to imagine, like, what if I grew up and all I ever was exposed to was need and want? What if what I was exposed to when I was young, 4 or 5 years old, was just abuse? What if I'd been abandoned as a young child? What if I didn't have access to some of the things that I've had access to? So, sometimes the things that we consider in ourselves that are good are because we've had some opportunities given to us that we didn't deserve, we didn't ask for, we didn't earn. You know, it happens all the time where people who consider themselves good, they judge somebody else who's doing bad things. But the person who's considering themselves good maybe just in some ways had far more blessings in their life, far more good things given to them, handed to them. And then it's easy to look at somebody and judge what they're doing, but you have no idea some of the things that they've gone through, some of the things that they were exposed to. Some of us that maybe had some blessings growing up may consider ourselves, oh, I'm a pretty good person. I would never do some of these bad things. But given a different set of circumstances, life could look a whole lot different. You know, we got into this conversation and just thinking about, really, at the core, there's this tendency in all of us towards bad, towards evil, which is why Jesus came, which is why in Romans 3:23 it says, for everybody has sinned, we've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. If you've encountered Jesus, you know that. You know that in your heart of hearts, there's this hopelessness, and there's this bent, there's this tendency towards things that are wrong. And that's why Jesus came. Jesus came and he said, I'm going to come and willingly give myself up as a sacrifice for the sin of all mankind. And all that anybody has to do to be made right with God is just to trust me. And sometimes people who consider themselves good don't think it's very fair that those that are bad have this easy access to God. But God sees everything. And I just want you to know today, if you're one of those people that maybe you've had some really bad experiences in your life and you've done some things that you feel incredibly guilty for and shameful of, like, the hope of the gospel is, if you recognize that and you recognize your need for a Savior, the scriptures tell us all you need to do is trust what Jesus Christ has done and you're made right with God. Maybe when you look at somebody else and you compare your life to theirs, you go, well, I could never match up to that. I'm not as good. I've made too many mistakes. Well, the scriptures say everybody has sinned. Even the people that have things together in such a way that they look good. You know, a lot of times the things about our lives that make us look good have a lot to do with our circumstances, have a lot to do with the blessings of God that we didn't even deserve. And so we have this way of judging each other and kind of comparing ourselves to each other. And the gospel takes it all away. The gospel is so clear in Romans, that passage we read, everybody has sinned. We're all separated from God. We're all distanced from him. And Jesus comes in his love and his grace and his mercy. And he says, I'm going to make it so that everybody has access to God. All you have to do is trust in what I've done. Isn't that incredible? Like, the good news of the gospel is that all we have to do is just trust Jesus Christ. We trust what he's done. We're all on the same page. We're all distant from him. We all don't deserve him. But we're all on the same page in just that we just have to trust him to be made right with God. Sometimes it's almost easier for a person who's messed up in life to recognize their need for a Savior. You know, there's some people that, you know, your lives are you've lived your lives in such a way where you compare yourself to other people and you think good of yourself. And maybe it's hard to see sinfulness in your own heart. And the Bible makes it so clear, all of us have that sin. And I would encourage you, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, trust him. He really is good. I want to go back to Paul for a second. And I'm going to share something with you that I don't think I've ever shared publicly before. I had to call and ask my dad for permission to share this. He told me years ago when it happened that I did have permission because his life is an open book. But many of you know, and I think it's really fitting to share this in this message because it relates to what we're talking about. And most of you, Ogale mentioned my dad this morning, he's been involved in even the planting of this church over these last 7 years. And growing up, my dad, he was my hero. He still is. There's nobody on planet Earth other than Jesus Christ himself that's had a bigger impact on my faith and my walk with Christ. But 14 years ago, I had just moved back from Graham and Ann, and our son Andrew had just been born, so Vicky and I just had 3 kids. And we moved back from Graham and Ann to Moncton, New Brunswick. And my dad had been working on a new building for Harvest House, the ministry that he started. And so this had been like a pretty big lead up to getting this building up and running. I think it was like a $750,000 to $1 million project. And he had, his board was against him on some things. He had his staff that was really frustrated. It was putting a lot of strain on him. And my dad is the kind of, to this day, he enjoys to have a glass of wine. He comes from a pretty bad lifestyle. Most of you have heard his testimony. He spent time in prison and Jesus got a hold of his life and he's a totally transformed person. But a couple of years after he came to know Christ, he realized like he could have a glass of wine at night and he wouldn't go too far. He didn't get drunk like he used to. And so that was fine. And 14 years ago, he was in a season of incredible stress and pressure. And he one night, he just didn't stop drinking. He just kept drinking and drinking and drinking. And he got really drunk. And I was in my mid-20s, had 3 kids at the time. I was working at Harvest House, working for my dad. And my mom showed up, and she'd never seen my dad like this. I grew up, you know, hearing his testimony. She had heard him share his testimony many times about his past life, but she'd never seen him like this. And he got so drunk that she didn't even know what was wrong with him. And so she showed up at my house. It was like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, knocking on my door. And she's like, Nate, there's something wrong with Dad. And so I went out and I talked to him for a second. And I was like, he's drunk, like really drunk. Like it was bad. Like it was just like he was over the top, right? And the sad thing was is that this was the night before. So the next morning was the day that they were supposed to break ground on his building that he'd been working for years and had, like, there'd been so much pressure and it was all kinds of stuff going on in his life. Like, the next morning was the day that he was supposed to break ground. It was very public. It was just, you know, people were going to be there. People that are well-respected were going to be there. And so I'm thinking, like, I got to get him out of town. And so I just, like, I told my mom, I was like, well, Mom, you've never seen this before, but he's out of it. I'd been around a lot of drunk people. And so we just took off. We like drove out of town for several hours and we went and got breakfast and got him lots of coffee and all kinds of stuff. And he started feeling a lot better, kind of mid morning. And so the trucks were all there at Harvest House in Moncton while we were, you know, 3 hours up north driving around the province somewhere. They were all getting started. And anyways, we got back and for a few days after this, like it really rocked me personally. I remember I went and picked up my sister, one of my sisters, and I was just trying to tell her what happened. And I said to her, I said, Dad's broke. Like I was crying because I was just, it really shook me. Like I was a full grown man. I had 3 kids at the time, but I'd never seen this happen. And so all I could get out to her, we're driving in the car. I said, Dad's broke. And she thought, oh, financially they're in a hard place, right? And I'm like crying and I'm like, no, like something's broken. And I'm like crying and it just really shook me. And I realized how much this affected me when I was telling my sister about what happened. Like, I'm just like, I was a mess. I was crying and I was like just bothered in a deep level. And what I realized was that my dad was this hero to me. I didn't think that he could ever have a slip or make a mistake or, you know, fall back into something like that. Like, I just didn't think that was even a possibility. And it shook me, like, in a deep, deep way. But God was doing this deep work in me where I had to start to realize that, like, what God had done in my dad was so incredible, was so miraculous, but my dad wasn't the hero. Jesus is the hero. And it was like, it was a defining moment for me in my walk with Jesus, because the question that was being asked of me was, does your faith rest on your dad and him being a hero in your life? Or does your faith rest on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross? For those of us that have earthly heroes, people that we look up to, when that person lets you down, it can affect your faith in a serious way. if it does, what I would say to you is that it's quite possible that your hero is an earthly person as opposed to Jesus Christ being the hero behind the hero. Whoever God has sent into your life to bless you, to point you to Jesus, like, thank God for that person's influence. Thank God for what, how God has used that person in your life. But also recognize Jesus Christ is the hero behind the hero. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Paul, who said this, imitate me as I imitate Christ. We talked about his relationship with a guy named Barnabas and John Mark. There was a time in Paul's life and ministry where he had influence over this young guy named John Mark. And John Mark had failed in some way, and Paul just cut him out. He said, John Mark can't travel with us anymore. You know, I was getting ready for this message, and I was thinking, I wonder if for John Mark, if Paul was this hero, this like larger-than-life personality, and when Paul cut him off and said, you can't come with us anymore, I wonder what John Mark went through. The scriptures don't tell us whether or not Paul was right in his harsh rebuke of John Mark. But I just have to imagine that for John Mark, this person who was following Jesus, it must have been really jarring to have this hero, this larger of life person, just say, you know what, you've failed too badly and you can't travel with us and tell people about Jesus anymore. You're just going to have to stay home. That impact on John Mark must have been really difficult. But John Mark, the scriptures also reveal, he went on to write the Gospel of Mark. He went on to be a traveling companion of Peter. He was a traveling companion of Barnabas. And so he had to wrestle with this hero in his life that in some ways kind of let him down or cut him out. But he had to come to this realization that it's Jesus that is the hero behind the hero. And the message that I want to leave us with today is Jesus the hero behind the hero for you? Is there an earthly hero in your life that maybe holds too much sway, that you look to that person maybe a little bit too much? Paul hit the nail on the head in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He's talking to this group of people in Corinth. He's a really good pastor, because what he says to them is he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so you know what he's saying? He's saying, Jesus has changed my life. So imitate me. Do the things that I do as I imitate Christ. But in the ways that I'm not imitating Christ, don't imitate me. Don't follow in those ways. And my encouragement to us today on this Mother's Day, as we think about people in our life that may have been a hero, people that we look to, people that we respect, people that we kind of maybe adore, is recognize that Jesus is actually the hero behind the hero. Is it Jesus that you follow wholeheartedly? There is no earthly hero that can compare to who Jesus is. There's no earthly romantic relationship that can satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. There is no earthly relationship with another human being that can even come close to doing in our minds and our hearts what Jesus Christ can do. Jesus is the hero behind the hero. I just want to wrap that story up a little bit. The reason I called my dad and asked for permission to share that story is because he's such a respected person and minister of the gospel. That story was really jarring for me. It was a really difficult season in my walk. But he didn't even hesitate. He was like, Nathan, if anything in my life can point people to Jesus, I just want us to share it. If anything in our family, if any flaws that are part of our family can point people to Jesus, I'm a wide open book when it comes to that. And the reason I share that story was because for me, it was like a watershed moment of, Who is it that I, like, what is my faith founded on? Is it founded on the hero behind the hero? Is it founded on Jesus, or is it founded on a person here? Today, my dad is an incredible Jesus follower. He is, again, the most influential person on my walk with Jesus. He was here just a month ago, and I remember he was sharing at one of our Overcomers meetings on a Tuesday night, and I was listening to him share his testimony, and I was just thinking, like, I'm so grateful to God for how he's used this man's walk with Jesus in my life. But he's an open book where he realizes that it's Jesus that is the true hero. There is no person on earth that can fulfill all of what Jesus can fulfill for other people. So like Paul said, Paul is saying to his congregation, he's saying, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. He always wanted to point people to Jesus. I'm going to invite the band to come up. We're going to close with a couple songs. And as we sing these songs, I just want to give an opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never received Christ the way it talks about in Romans. Maybe you've never put your faith in him, confessed your sin, confessed your need for a Savior, and received him. If you haven't, I just want to give you an opportunity today. If you want to come to the front and kneel and pray to receive Christ, I invite you to do that. You can talk to somebody. It doesn't have to be at the front. If you want to talk to somebody here that's in leadership and you want to have somebody pray with you, we'd love to do that. But also, maybe you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus, and maybe there's been times in your life or people in your life that you've put on a pedestal and it's affected your faith in some way. And my encouragement to us today, if you're a Jesus follower, if you're hearing him, maybe this is an opportunity to say, Jesus, I've put some people up on a pedestal beyond what's healthy. And I realize that you're the hero behind the hero. You're the only one worth imitating. You are the Savior. You are the true Savior of the world and Lord. And so maybe as a Jesus follower, maybe this was a reminder that you needed today. And just as we're singing these last couple songs, I just want to encourage you, if you want to pray and renew that faith and commitment to him, to take some time to do that. Let's just stand together. I'll pray for us, and then we'll sing these last couple songs. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you speak to us through your word so clearly. Lord, for whatever reason, you use us, flawed human beings, to show people your goodness and your greatness and your mercy. But the scriptures reveal very clearly that Jesus, you're the hero behind the hero. There is no earthly person that can compare to you. There is no pastor, there is no writer, there is no prayer warrior that even comes close to who you are. Jesus, you are the only Savior. You are the only way to God. And Lord, for those of us that maybe have gotten our eyes on people here on earth, and we've put them on a pedestal, maybe it's a romantic relationship, maybe it's somebody we've looked up to and aspired to, and we've put them up above you, God, we ask for forgiveness. And I pray that today we would renew our heart posture in such a way that we would say, Jesus is the hero behind the hero. Jesus is the only one worth imitating. And I'll imitate somebody else as long as that person's imitating Jesus. But if Jesus ever gets out of the picture, I'm turning the other way. I just pray, Lord, that you bless us today. And Lord, if there's anybody here that hasn't surrendered their lives to you and you're speaking to them, I pray that you give them the boldness to say, Jesus, I trust you. I need you. I thank you for how you've saved me. We love you, God. Pray you bless these last couple songs and the rest of our time together today. In Jesus' name.